Welcome to God and Country Radio, a program that discusses current social, economic, political, and prophetic events of life scripture. I'm your Bible teacher, Pastor Brad Winship, pastor of Harbor Bible Church in Central New Jersey. The big news over the last week was two very important Supreme Court rulings, 303 Creative versus Elenis, Aubrey Elenis, director of the Colorado Civil Rights Division. The state of Colorado passed a law compelling a Christian web designer to create websites for same-sex marriages. The Supreme Court ruled in favor of the Christian web designer. The other case was Students for Fair Admission versus Harvard College. Harvard was accepting students on the basis of race. The Supreme Court ruled against Harvard and overturned the practice of affirmative action in college admissions. Now, in both of these cases, the court's conservative justices all voted for the plaintiffs. The conservative judges John Roberts, Clarence Thomas, Samuel Alito, Neil Gorsuch, Brent Kavanaugh, Amy Barrett, voted for the Christian web designer and Students for Fair Admission, while the leftist justices, Sotomayor, Kagan, and Jackson, voted for Harvard and the Colorado Civil Rights Division. And this divide happens continually. How can it be that these judges always fall on different sides of an issue? They all went to the same law schools. They all read some of the same journals. Why do they fall into two distinct sides? And for that matter, notice the public is the same way. The public is divided into two different parties, each holding two diametrically opposed moral positions. So there's a timeless biblical lesson we can learn here about there being two different sources of morals, two different ways of determining right and wrong. And if we don't understand the different foundations for ethics driving this divide, we're going to be like most of the public, totally in the dark in regard to the moral battle of this age and the spiritual decision that must be made by everyone in this life. There is a reason why, as it says in Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse 2, the wise man's heart directs him toward the right, and the foolish man's heart directs him toward the left. There's a reason why in ancient Israel there were the Pharisees versus the Sadducees, the conservatives versus the liberals. In Greece, there were the Epicureans versus the Stoics. And in every culture, there's a divide between conservatives and liberals, between the political left and the political right. Now, sociologists will try to explain this as people simply having different needs. Older people might want to hold on to their traditions. Younger people like to identify with the new. Or people in the city might have a need for socialism working together, while people in the country may have more of a need for independence. It's all Darwinistic survival of the fittest, or rather natural selection. But that sociological explanation is a very superficial explanation for the divide. The true reason is much deeper. It comes down to how people determine what is right and wrong, what is called one's moral foundation for ethics. And some people determine ethics on the basis of human utility, what is good for man. And other people determine ethics based on a higher moral code coming from the law of nature and nature's God. That's the real difference. Take, for example, the abortion issue. If right and wrong are determined by what is good for you, or rather, if right or wrong are determined by your personal preferences, everyone would agree that pro-choice should be the law of the land. The philosophy is even in the title, pro-choice. Morals are based on your own choice, human autonomy. But if morals are based on a divine moral code, thou shalt not kill, even if it inconveniences you not to kill, then everyone would agree that abortion is wrong. So when it comes right down to it, there are only two foundations for ethics, either man or God. either right and wrong are based upon human utility and autonomy, which is called humanism, or right and wrong are based on theism. And this is really the battle of the ages, man versus God. So this is all very basic. And I apologize for having to point this out again, but we're not going to be able to understand these Supreme Court rulings unless we have this basic understanding of the whys and the wherefores behind moral decisions. And this point is not so obvious to the public. Let me again encourage you that when you get into any political issue discussion with a coworker, a neighbor, a family member, don't get sucked into arguing the details of the abortion issue or the gay rights issue or the socialism issue. Instead, lay the axe to the root of the tree and ask the question, how do you determine what is right and wrong? Or the question, by what authority do you say these things? That's a discussion that gets people to address the real issue, which is autonomy or fidelity to God. We're never going to change people's minds about social political issues until we change their foundation for ethics. So now let's talk about the mindset of these leftist Supreme Court judges and really the mindset of every leftist. Notice this text in the Bible, Proverbs chapter 28, verse 5. Evil men do not understand justice, but those who seek the Lord understand all things. Notice we have two categories. Those who are called evil versus those who are seekers of God. Those who go to God for their moral opinions. So we see that this divide between how people determine justice is not simply a matter of preference. There are people who are evil, and who thereby become morally ignorant. They don't understand justice. And there's another class of people who are good, who have moral understanding. They understand all things. Now, someone might look at this text and say, it tells us nothing. The left can call the right evil and claim that the political right doesn't understand justice. And the right can call the left evil and claim that the political left doesn't understand justice. And that's exactly what happens on political talk shows. Well, that ambiguity would be true only if one starts off assuming some sort of moral relativism, where you have your truth and I have my truth. But throughout the Bible, there's a clear standard of what is right and what's wrong. The good is defined as those who seek God. These are the ones who get their moral foundation and understanding from God and his revelation given in Scripture. And if that's not your source, you end up being in the category of evil men who do not understand justice. Psalm 25:14, the secret of the Lord is for those who fear him, those who have respect for God, and he will make them know his covenant. Psalm 119:99, I have more insight than all of my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. So here is how the unsaved, unregenerate mind works. Justice, what is right, is based on outcomes, personal outcomes. Justice works backward. It starts off by asking what will be a good outcome for me, and then it determines the moral position. It's basically man-centered morals. Oh, it might be compassion, but it's compassion for me, for humanity. Compassion could be sympathy for the devil. For example, someone thinks to themselves, I don't want to have a baby. That would not be personally good for me. And if I ever have a baby and it was inconvenient, I want to be able to choose to not have that baby. So therefore, abortion must be okay. The moral position fits with my desires. And since I consider myself good, and I consider my desires good, morals must be based upon what best helps me. Corrupt politicians think the same way. They never consider themselves as evil or or doing evil. They simply believe that whatever advances them personally must be right. They think that since my cause helps me, it must be good. And if it helps me, it certainly in some way must be helping everyone else. So why not take that bribe if it will bring about a greater good for a greater number of people? And so ethics become situational ethics. The greatest good for the greatest number of people. And since a certain activity is doing me good and not really hurting anyone else, it must be okay. And in the minds of these people, there is no consideration, or at least very little consideration, that what is right and wrong might go against what is good for them or what they desire in this world. The righteous man, as defined in the Bible, understands that to do right, he must fight against self. He must deny the sinful self if he is to follow the higher law of God. Psalm 15:5. The righteous man swears, or rather he keeps a promise even to his own hurt. It doesn't matter whether it's good or bad for him, he must fulfill a higher law. 2 Chronicles 19:6. Judges were told not to rule for man's sake, but for God's sake. However, unrighteous politicians, unrighteous judges don't even think in those terms. They believe justice is affirming self. And the Bible calls these people unprincipled men. 2 Peter 2:7, and God rescued righteous Lot, oppressed by the sensual conduct of unprincipled men. And 2 Peter 3:17, you therefore, beloved, knowing this beforehand, be on your guard, so that you're not carried away by the error of unprincipled men and fall from your own steadfastness. Now, it's not that these people don't operate on a principle. It's just the wrong principle. So they're described as being without a true principle, a true basis for justice. Because if one's principles are not based on the law of the Creator God, they're not really principles at all. And furthermore, let me point out that having a wrong basis for ethics doesn't matter whether you're just a man on the street or a highly educated lawyer. Both can be operating on the same faulty premise. Now, the educated lawyer, the Supreme Court justice, may have high-sounding rationalism, but it's still a faulty foundation built upon man and human utility. The edifice might look well constructed, but it's built upon a foundation of sand, you know, as Jesus talked about in the Sermon on the Mount. Oliver Wendell Holmes, the Supreme Court Justice from 1902 to 1932, was considered one of the greatest legal minds in America. But he believed that law is whatever the dominant forces in society want. He became the father of 20th century law positivism, which is a fancy label for the belief that what is right is whatever man decides through his own social constructs. Holmes was a Darwinian atheist. He didn't believe divinity, God, formal natural law should have anything to do with the American legal system. Holmes was a religious apostate. And these leftist judges on the Supreme Court, Sotomayor, Kagan, and Jackson, followed the same philosophy of law positivism. And this is why these leftist judges always agree and always vote in a certain way. So in regard to these two recent cases, first, Students for Fair Admission versus Harvard. The majority opinion of the court was that Harvard was violating the 14th Amendment, equal protection under law, and violating the 1964 Civil Rights Act, that you can't discriminate on the basis of race. Now, a university may decide to admit an individual who has had to overcome difficulties in life, even racism, so some minorities may indirectly be favored, but admission cannot be solely on the basis of skin color. Harvard was denying Asians entrance. simply because they had too many Asians. So Harvard was determining the student body by racism, the color of people's skin, their national origin. And in 1964, the Civil Rights Act ruled that race is not a righteous basis for discrimination in public institutions. So what Harvard was doing was no different than some other college denying blacks or Latinos entrance on the basis of some racial quota. Why would it be wrong to have a racial quota limiting the number of blacks, but right to have a racial quota limiting the number of Jews or Asians? Now, the three leftist Supreme Court justices gave their dissenting opinion that the Equal Protection Clause permits consideration of race to achieve the goal, that people can't be colorblind in an endemically segregated society, that previous laws allowed for judgment based upon race, and that we have to discriminate in order to prevent discrimination. And so in this dissenting opinion, there was a lot of double talk. That it's discrimination to deny a person on the basis of the race, but you have to have discrimination in order to not discriminate. So this dissenting opinion was very convoluted and obscure, but the underlying premise, which was never admitted to, was this. A certain kind of racism is okay when it comes to certain minorities, Asians in particular. But it's okay to have a racism that favors blacks. Why? Because it results in a certain preferred outcome. And as I mentioned earlier, this is the leftist view of justice. Justice is not based on any immutable higher law of God. It's just based upon outcomes. These people work backwards. What's right is what gives us the outcome we want. And what is right must be what gives us the outcome we like. Now, the second case that the leftist members of the courts unanimously dissented to was the 303 Creative versus Elinus case. The case where the courts ruled that a Christian web designer could not be forced by the state of Colorado to make websites for homosexual weddings. And in this case, we see that the three leftist justices were again operating on the same faulty basis for ethics. It was all about outcome rather than principle. They wanted Christians and everyone to be forced to support LGBTQ. And so they worked backwards from that conclusion to come up with the rationale as to why people should be forced to support an ideology they don't believe in. For example, why Jewish deli owners should be forced to serve ham sandwiches. Why a pro-life sign business should be forced to make pro-choice signs, or why stores should be forced to sell LGBTQ pride merchandise. For these leftist justices, there is no higher law of freedom of conscience or freedom of speech involved, just a belief that homosexuals need to be accepted and celebrated by everyone. And notice the intrinsic bias or prejudice. Claiming that LGBTQ ought not to be offended or discriminated against means by default, Christian morals can be offended and discriminated against. These justices in their moral blindness didn't even see their double standard, the prejudice that they were promoting. Neil Gorsuch wrote about Sotomayor's dissenting opinion that, quote, in some places, the dissent gets so turned around about the facts, it opens fire on its own position. And this is so characteristic of leftist justice. Because it's not based on absolutes, but outcomes. And at some point, it will become contradictory. In one instance, claiming discrimination is right, but in another instance, claiming it's wrong. Because it all depends on the outcomes. Sometimes murder is right, sometimes it's wrong. Sometimes stealing is right, sometimes it's wrong. And this is a real logical problem for the left. They know that in order to push LGBTQ, they're going to have to discriminate against Christians. They're going to have to promote the very thing they've been saying for years is the greatest evil, discrimination. So in closing, I hope we see the different foundation for right and wrong between the left and the right. That's the lesson we should be getting from the news of these two Supreme Court rulings. What's really frightening is imagine what America would look like if leftist justice became the supreme law of the land. If all of the old ways of looking at justice were thrown out and replaced with this new definition of justice, it would result in injustice, or rather justice would be that which favors what the Bible defines as evil. We've already seen this in Roe versus Wade, where the leftist definition of justice resulted in the murder of 60 million innocent children. The leftist definition of justice would eventually turn America into Sodom and Gomorrah. Right now, we're kind of balancing on a knife's edge. The District Court and the 10th Circuit Court of Appeal had ruled for Colorado and against this Christian web designer. So she had to provide marriage websites for same-sex marriages or the state would close her down. The Supreme Court, with just a two-person conservative majority, pushed back this legal revolution the left wants upon America. The Russian dissident, Alexander Solzhenitsyn, in his famous book, The Gulag Archipelago, dedicated three chapters to how the communists, once in power, changed the courts and the laws in Russia. Quote, "The interrogations were almost never undertaken to elicit the truth, but simply to eliminate the opposition." End quote. The first question was never, what did the person do, but what was his class? What is his origin? What is his education and upbringing? Is he totalitarian or bourgeoisie? And justice wasn't about whether you did what was right or wrong. What mattered was outcomes. If your factory failed, or the harvest was poor, that was the crime. No objective right or wrong, as we're so used to in Christianity, but pragmatism. And your crime was not that you were violating some higher law of God, but that you were an enemy of the people, because you weren't going along with the communist agenda. Quote, "Judges were not guided by right or wrong, but by the principles of the revolution." One judge is quoted saying, "We are guided not by the laws, but by our own revolutionary conscience." After the revolution, the Bolshevik Revolution, for 4 years there were no law codes. They had thrown out the laws of the Tsar, and they had not composed their own laws. Quote, "Don't tell me our criminal courts ought to act exclusively on the basis of existing written norms. We live in the process of revolution. The tribunal is not the kind of court in which fine points of jurisprudence and clever stratagems are to be restored. We are creating a new law and new ethical norms. And no matter how much is said about eternal laws of truth, justice, etc., we know how dearly those have cost us." Solzhenitsyn writes, that was the way it was in those years. The ideology of communism, of which they boasted so enthusiastically, turned Russia upside down, destroyed its foundations, trampled everything it held sacred underfoot. Does all that sound familiar? Well, this is where leftist justice leads. This is where the whole universe ends up when God is not God and when man and Satan become God. I'm out of time. I have to end here. You've been listening to God and Country Radio. In my extended video version of this program on my YouTube and Rumble channel, God and Country Biblical Exposition, I'll add more commentary and biblical teaching. The website for all of the links is godandcountryradio.org. Just spell it out, godandcountryradio.org. Thanks for listening. Thanks for your support. Let's close in prayer. Father in heaven, thank you for again reminding us of the righteousness of your justice. So may we be more resolute in standing up for your law. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.